Lake Effect continues on WUWM. I'm Joy Powers. In 1955, all Zeddy Hyler wanted was to build a home in Wauwatosa. But that wasn't easy for a black man to do at that time. Hyler had to overcome a number of obstacles. Angry neighbors concerned about property values, vandals. He even had to get a white friend to buy the property for him before he could even begin to build. And once the building began, that's when the vandals and arsonists hit. But his persistence paid off, and Hyler became the first black man to build a home in Wauwatosa. When he died in 2004, he left the home to his nephew, Gerald Williamson, who decided the home's historical significance should be recognized. He took the idea to the Wauwatosa Historic Preservation Commission, and recently the city's Common Council approved the home as a Wauwatosa landmark. The home's current owner joined WUWM's Olivia Richardson in studio to talk about what it took to make it happen. Williamson begins by describing what it was like to have Zeddy Hyler as an uncle.
When I did meet him, it was at occasions, you know, like it was a family get-togethers or something like that, you know. I would meet him, my Uncle Zeddy, you know. And me, I never grew up, I never had a dad. You know, I grew up with a single-family home and, you know, with my mom. And young men always wish that they had a dad. Like, you know, say, where's my dad? Who's my dad? This and that and the other. So it was like the questions, it was taboo to even ask. So I didn't. But deep down inside, I wanted, you know, I wanted to know. So I spent time with my uncle. He stopped by and he just told my mom, you know, hey, want to take, because he's seen something. And I think now that I understand why he decided to take me under his wing was because he lost his own son, which was his only child. And by doing that, I think he's seen something in me. I don't know if it was the Afro. I don't know. You know what I mean? So yeah. I don't know what it is he's seen in me. That he, you know, he wanted to take me on the wing and kind of show me things. Poor family, extremely poor family, living up in the core of the city, in the worst parts of the city at that time. Mom didn't have a lot of money, couldn't afford to send me to college or anything like that. So it was tough, just like out of school, straight to work. So with him, by being around him, he kind of, you know, he took me away the time that I think that I was with him. He knew it could have been time that I would have been getting into trouble or something, in the streets maybe. But I really respect what he did by coming to mentor me. He showed me he owned a lot of homes in the city, just rental properties and things. So I learned real fast how to change toilets and, you know, and things like that, and bathtubs and, you know, picking up tools, learning how to use a tool. I remember when I first picked up a paintbrush. I'm looking at him, and he doesn't need masking tape to paint. You know, he's so good, he didn't need masking tape. You mean, I look like a mummy when I got done painting. I'm got tape all over me. He's looking like, what are you doing, right? So, but no, just things like that, learning, having that dad. He lived in a home where he had his mom and dad. But dad pretty much was a sharecropper. His dad wanted him to stay there on the farm with them, in doing, you know, the everyday chores, but he had dreams and aspirations of going to college. So that's why he left home. That was his dream, to go to college, and he wasn't going to let anybody stop him, and which was pretty much his M.O. ever since. You know, my uncle was he was a big man. He was 6'4". But the thing was is that his persona, when you look at him, you know, you think, like, man, this massive dude, you know, man, you know. But he was a really nice guy. And talking to him, even about the property and how he came about the property, he explained it to me. He wasn't bitter or upset of that he had to, you know, go that route to build a home in Wauwatosa. It was more so he was disappointed in the laws that were passed that says, hey, you know what I mean? We're a land of the free, home of the brave, you know. And we have equal opportunity here to be able to make it. But yet, in the same time, in the same breath, it was against the law for him to buy property anywhere in the United States. One of his dreams, he wanted to build a home. And he wanted to build it out in Wauwatosa. But some of the old laws back then, like on the deed, states that the current owner isn't allowed to sell their home to any African Americans. And it's stated. if it's African Americans or if it's across the board. It's basically you can't sell only to, another white person. So that was one of his reasons. His friend, which was he had a white friend, he offered to, hey, man, I'll buy the property. It was that threw him for a loop there because he didn't understand that. Like, why can't I buy property out in Wauwatosa? He bought a lot of property in Milwaukee, but he couldn't buy in Wauwatosa. That was his missions, one of his dreams to do that.
So how did he come to get the house? Like, how did he get the ability to do this?
Well, what he told me, he saved up a lot. I mean, he worked very hard. He had the money to buy the land. So his friend purchased the land for him. Then he pretty much built it himself, him and his brothers. They didn't have to pay general contractors or anyone to build a home because they all had trades. He had saved the money to buy all the materials and things he needed to build his home. Now, even though he had that, the resources to do that, he still had to get the okay from the city to do it. Because once it hit the air, that's, when all the trouble and things started for him.
Right. And so then people were trying to knock down his house and he had to guard
it. Yeah. What it was the frame of the house. They started building and they built it the wood frame. He was receiving, threatening phone calls, mail. And he came home one day and went to the house one day and found that the frame was been knocked down and everything. And then I know they tried building it back up and he did it again. And then a group of white women came together. They stood up. They were just, it was, to them, it was unfair. One of the complaints that some of his white neighbors was that property values was going to go down. People start moving. They'll put, you've seen sign for sale signs pop up everywhere, And he because they seen, he kind of proved to the people that stayed, that decided to stay, okay, and to live there, even though he moved in. You had a lot of people moving out, but it was some people, white families decided to live, to stay. the property see was going to happen, But no, it was like, man, he did exactly, the property values just kept going up for everybody. He didn't bring any property values down. He was, in the community. He was, he was always in the community helping, doing things in his organizations. With school, he was, he had a scholarship fund set up, down at Arkansas State. I mean, it was just a lot of things he was doing that was positive. It was not negative that they can say about him, in the community. Like, oh, that was a bad scene. You guys should have got rid of him. No, it was totally different. So I think because of that, people didn't, they didn't see him as a black man moving into, all white neighborhood that's going to bring out property values anymore. They see him as a man. And that's all he wanted. From that time until I started going around, which was like 82, 84, when I started going around there, I think because of what my uncle did, I think maybe that kind of was why I haven't seen any that type of racism at all. I got cops as friends out there in Wauwatosa, good people, you're really good people. It's snowing, you wake up, your snow shovel, and I do the same thing for them. So we got really good neighbors out there.
How did you come to own the home or take over it for him?
When he passed away, that's how I found out. I had no idea beforehand, but he had a will, and we went to, attorneys, we all sat down, and he read it out. I understood then, what it was, because I own my own businesses. I'm used to own a store called Disc Doctor on Fond du Lac. He used to come by all the time, and he loved that. He loved seeing me operate my own business, and he see my kids. I have four kids, and he see my kids there with me. I go pick them up from school. Close the store, go pick up my kids, come back, open the store. You know what I mean? He loved that. And I think what it was, like I said earlier, he seen me. He seen a drive in me to own my own business. And I think with that and then seeing my family, my wife, we were close-knit, we were tight. He didn't want the house to get sold. He didn't want anybody selling the house. I knew the history. My family members, too. The Heilers, they know. For a fact, they wouldn't have sold it. And I'm happy to know I wouldn't sell it because I listened to him, like I said, since 82, 84, talk about what he had to go through, you know, and I see what he was doing in order to maintain and to keep his property. So I had a lot of honor for him as for what he did. 2016, I went to the Wauwatosa Historical Society. I think I wrote a letter to them and just asked for a historical designation on his home for what he's done. I found out from Mr. McBride, he's running for mayor. He told me that, he said, man, he said, that is so significant. He said, actually, what my uncle did, he said, it was before what Rosa Parks did, standing up for her rights by not giving up her seat. Kind of threw me back because that is, you start thinking about it, like, that was a significant thing that he did. He stood on just the fact that he belonged. Like, he felt like, I belong. He didn't like the fact that he wasn't able to do something, especially when he was doing everything right. He didn't hate anybody. He went to school. He got his degrees. All the American pie. He just wanted a piece. He just wanted a piece of the pie. That's it. And he was being denied that.
And so now you and your family live there?
Yeah. I always tell everybody, trust me, when you get a house and a will, it ain't always free. It wasn't free. I get people tell me that all the time. Hey, you just got a house. My family members think, hey, you got a house for free. No, no, no. It was an $80,000 ticket on that house. So I had to go to the bank, M&I Bank, and get a loan to get the house. Receiving a house was definitely an honor for me. I was in the process of buying a home. So when he passed away, we had to stop purchase of that home. It's definitely an honor. Definitely an honor. I told my wife from day one, I got to do something to honor him for what he done to be able to build his home out here. And I told her, I said, man, I like to set up a plaque or something, you know, on the front of the yard, put a cornerstone up, you know, with his name on it, just detailing just what he done, what he did, so people around would see that. And that's when I found the Wauwatosa Historical Society.
And what was that process like, reaching out to them?
I sent the letter to them. You know, it took a while for them to reach back out. Well, to me, it seemed like a while, but I understand, you know, it's a process for everything. They finally responded to me. And, you know, I got a couple calls from a couple different people that after I had some interviews, things that I said that they didn't agree with. But I explained to them, hey, if he told me that's what happened, that's what happened. It was a story about when they built the home, when they were tearing down the frame. They kept tearing the frame down. That him and his brothers, they came out. They all had, like, rifles or whatever. And they were trying to protect the property from people coming to tear it down again. The thing was is that they went down there to protect the property, but he said, we came to protect our property and let them know that, hey, I plan on staying here and living here. That whole story, he never mentioned that story to anybody, and he called the place the Ponderosa after that. And the Ponderosa, you know, the old schoolers out there know, Ponderosa was just a place where the Cowboys, they hung out. That was just like their headquarters. They hung out at the Ponderosa. So for the circumstances, it was something I think that he felt it needed to be done. But then again, at the same time, he wouldn't hurt a fly. You know, he volunteered, YMCA. I mean, he did so much in the community.
That was Gerald Williamson, nephew of Zettie Heidler, whose home was just designated a historic landmark. Williamson spoke with WUWM's Olivia Richardson. You're listening to Lake Effect on 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR.